Hello, a very good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Tuts Experience podcast. This is a personal journal podcast from yours truly, Kieran Uri Tuttiet, here on the Trending Topics Network and the Tuts Network. Indeed, I hope you are fantastically well and enjoying the lovely month of October as we are well into autumn, or as the Americans call it, fall. So generic. Fall. Why don't they call it autumn? Something different. Actually call it a month. Because you don't call it, winter. And you know, that's a thing. Where fall is just basically saying, oh, well, the leaves are falling off the trees. Weird. Anyways, I hope you're all well. Oh dear. Now, if you want to follow us on Twitter, follow us on Twitter at Tuts Experience. Like our Facebook page, the Tuts Experience. And of course, you can email us, tutsexperience@hotmail.com, or go to our Podbean website, which is tutsexperience.podbean.com. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. Well, guys, it's been quite a funny day, because today I'm now talking to you on Thursday, 26th of October, and my Audacity, which I used to record the show, decided to have a bit of a moment yesterday, almost when I got towards the end. So I initially published the podcast without listening back to it. It was a bit in a rush last night, I'm afraid. Rob's parents came over, as well as my parents did too. Drink was involved. So basically I didn't listen back. The show was published this morning on Thursday, the 26th, and embarrassment ensued. Because for some reason, two audio channels mixed together. So it sounded like I was talking to you twice. And so I woke up and listened back to it this morning, and then I was like, oh my god, I need to sort that out. So I did. So I've deleted it, and now this is the new one. Oh, I don't know what's going on. But I didn't want to lose the whole show, because I was like, oh my god, that's like an hour plus. It's ridiculous and embarrassing, so I had to get that sorted. Well, I hope you're all well and good stuff. I've got some great songs to let you know about. We're going to be talking about WWE TLC. It happened a few days ago, and so also we're going to be talking about a little bit of SmackDown and Raw, talk about the Eurovision Song Contest news. And I have a little announcement a little bit later on. And remember, after the show, keep listening, because I've got our special comedy bit in just a little bit here, well, towards the end of the show. So stick around for that. But I hope you enjoy the show. It's lovely to know that you're listening. And get in contact if you want a dedication request, or, you know, want to chat to me about anything in particular. It would be lovely to hear from you. And the title of this episode, which is episode 65, is Burn, Fat, Burn. That is a metaphor. Is it a metaphor? Or is it basically the title of the show? And it has meaning. And we'll get into that in a little bit. All right. So stick around for our first song. This is Bryan Adams with Back to You. Enjoy this amazing 90s classic. Ocean. Bryan Adams there, Back to You, amazing tune. Yes, that was from an MTV awards ceremony. Yes, back in the 90s, of course. Now, Back to You, a great, great song. Now, I know I say that every time after every most songs, but generally the songs that I listen to are all good songs. I'm only kidding. God, you can hear me cackle. I sound like Muttley from Dick Dastardly and all of that stuff. Oh dear, I'm waiting to cough now and then you'll be like, oh my god, will you just stop it? But no, I'm not going to do that, guys. I'm going to try and to suppress all of that stuff, even though I do need to, in general, cough it up. But Back to You, really, really good. So if we look at the charts, in the UK charts, it got to number... Back to You got to number 18. Oh, in the UK. Oh, that's just real shame. Well, in Canada, it got to number one. That's all that matters in your homeland, mate. But I do love a bit of Bryan Adams. Yes. And obviously, he had the longest number one for ages in 1991. With Everything I Do It For You. Because it went twice platinum here. It was number one for God knows how long. A long, long time. But yes, there you go. Well, guys, yes, I wanted to talk to you about the gym. Well, yes, I have joined the gym. Stand back. I've knocked Slimming World on the head at the moment because I can't hold down going there every Thursday evening and sitting there for 2 hours. And Sharon, as much as she's lovely, my consultant, I can't sit there for 2 hours going around the group because it's not helping me, all of that. There's a lot of self-indulgent people there, and I feel like I can do practically the same type of thing at home to myself. I just have Rob, and he has a tennis racket and he hits me over the head with it rather than Sharon, you know, sort of talking me about it in front of everybody. But it's just I miss my week, my evenings on a Thursday, and it's just a bit, you know, it's a bit naff, you know. So I do sort of like need to sort that out. So I've knocked that on the head, and that saved myself £5 a week. Yes, so that's good. The main thing what I need to do is not... I need to train what I'm eating, of course. But I do need to keep moving. I need to keep exercise going. And it comes both in hand. You've got to eat right and you've got to exercise. And, you know, and that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. You just need to go out there and do it. I've committed myself to a gym membership at Fareham Leisure Centre, which is my local gym, pool, tennis, badminton, a gym, you know, sports hall, all of this type of stuff, sauna and a steam room. What a treat. Now, I pay £39.99, which for American translation, it would probably be close to 60 USD. Mm-hmm. So it is quite expensive. But the thing is that Rob, God bless him, has got a promotion, and he's indeed, you will end up having a larger salary. So that helps us out a lot. And I will be getting a pay rise in April because I'm going to be going up within my band, working in the local authority. I'm now in a band, a payment band, you know, a pay band, and got in the next level in April. So that's very exciting. And yes, so that's that. And so financially, not got a problem at all. And as well, myself and Rob just remortgaged the house, and we're having all sorts of stuff with the be done to the house, which we need a new kitchen, we need a new bathroom, we need a new fridge, we need a new Hoover, that type of thing. So, you know, financially sorted, not a problem. So we've got a little bit of extra cash, and I'm like, well, I'm going to do it for myself, and I need to do it now. As you guys know, I do park run every other Saturday, which is great fun. Sadly, I was going to do it last Saturday, which would have been the 21st Yeah, Saturday the 21st of October, and I couldn't make it because of my cold. I had so much mucus on my chest. I was not feeling great at all. I needed to rest. So, go from there. So, I've joined the gym. Now, as I say, it's expensive, but I want to do it for me. And if I could commit to something like that, and I've committed something that's quite highly financial intake, you know, outtake, I'm going to commit to do that. So that's what I'm going to do. So, yeah, so I'm happy with it. Today is my second day at the gym. I went for my induction, and then I spent an hour there. And when I went on my induction, I did the cross trainer, and I did the cross trainer and the running machine, all that sort of stuff. And fine, great. Didn't have a problem at all. And same today. It was great. I did the cross trainer, and then I did the running machine by just sort of like fast-paced walking for about another 15 minutes. I did some weights as well on my legs and also on my arms, and also I went back on the cross trainer for a little bit. And, I feel great. I feel great. Now, speaking of gym and being healthy, etc., I was listening to, God bless them, our good friends at Hanging With Heavy. So Heavy Set, Justin, and had a guest on who we all know as Mr. Old School or the Mountie. That's Keith Robinson. And they've been talking about Keith's life in particular, his weight issues. And now I've had my own weight issues too. I'm not too sure on conversion at the moment, but I'm at about 260 pounds, say about that. So it equates to stones is about 18, over 18 and a half stone. And so, and I'm 6'3", so relatively I do wear it well in a regard, you know, but I've got to watch out for my posture and all that type of stuff. My waist, you know, I'm about 38 to 40. And I've got to be starting to get a bit careful now because there's so many nice clothes that I'm not being able to fit in, and I'm having to wear baggy stuff. So, ooh, scary stuff. So I need to, you know, keep an eye open on that. But listen to the conversation. I'm really enlightened about how much control Keith's getting his life into gear. You know, in regards to his body weight. And he feels so much greater. And I'll tell you what, Keith, my sends you a big hug and a big pat on the back and shake your hand, my friend, because that's a very difficult thing for you to decide to do. And you have a lot of respect, and you have all my respect, my friend. So all the best to you on your journey. The one thing I will say is that from my own experience, now that doesn't mean that my own experiences will affect you or anybody, but I have tried sort of in inverted commas fad diets. Now, the fad diets that I've been going on, in particular, the one I did and which I would like to point out, is the Cambridge diet, which is like the lighter life diet. Okay, so it's basically drinking shakes and water for the first 2 weeks, and then after the second week you can then have bars instead of milkshakes, but you still have to drink a lot of water, which is something a little bit what Keith has been doing at this point in time. Now, I lost a lot of weight. I was around about nudging on to 18 stone at the time, if not more than that, and I needed to do something, so I went on the Cambridge diet and I went down to about 14 and a half stone. I was at a 36 waist. I was wearing large to extra large shirts, and I felt fantastic. I could see my jawbone and all that type of stuff. I didn't have a double chin and all that type of stuff. I felt fantastic, but people weren't recognizing me. They thought I looked a bit gaunt, you know, and starting a bit worry about myself. And in turn, because of my job, I found it incredibly difficult to drink the amount of water that was necessary for the diet to be Perfect. Okay. Now, at the time, I was driving coaches for a living, and I was a supervisor at Greyhound UK. So, if you guys remember when I was at Greyhound back then, driving up and down from Portsmouth to London, and Southampton to London, and Bournemouth and Poole, and Ringwood up to London. So, you know, that was difficult. I was driving up, which would take about 2 hours, but from Bournemouth and Poole, it'd take about 3 hours to get up there. So I couldn't drive, and you know, I'd be bursting for a pee all the time if I kept on drinking water. Now, it wasn't an issue when I ended up going to London and I drank more water, it was fine, and I could go to the loo up there. But there were so many times where I had to pull over to the side of the road and use the toilet in the back of the coach, and it was incredibly embarrassing, as you could expect, with all those people looking at you as you're scurrying in the middle of the coach, like, excuse me. Just needs to use the toilet. very embarrassing. So I ended up, you know, stop drinking all of this water. And I would try and wait and have the water when I got back home. But you get bored of it, don't you? And you can't really use, you know, sugars and sweeteners in it. Nothing at all. So, in turn, I ended up not drinking. So, in turn, and I'm sorry if you're eating, but just be careful. My stool ended up being quite hard, which ended up ripping inside, okay? Inside your ass, okay? So I ended up having a lot of awful issues. Now, I apologize for being a bit personal, guys, but basically, I was not very well at all. I ended up having an infection, and I ended up having to get surgery, which has some lasting consequences, I'm afraid. And everything works fine now, okay, but I am still in pain. And as much as the wonderful NHS do their job, there are still some issues. So, bear that in mind. These fad diets are great, but if you can do it, and you can do it 100% to it, then it just sort of does work. But it was a scary time as well. I felt a lot weak, and I've had a bit of muscle wastage and stuff myself. But Keith, you know, and heavy listening, guys, it's nothing on you at all. Guys, you do what you want. Love you to bits. Got a lot of respect for you, but God, please be careful. Just from my own point of view. So it's a little bit of a personal take on how I feel about those types of things. But a lot of respect to you guys. Right, time to move swiftly on. We've got another song now, and then we'll divulge into a little bit of Eurovision news. We'll talk about WWE TLC and the state of the WWE and SmackDown in a little bit as well. Okay, as I've been missing out on the European uppercut a lot recently. For my own reasons, guys, I mean work in particular and various other things. Which we'll divulge into in a little bit here on the Tuts Experience. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Tuts Experience. Okay, I don't tweet much in that account, so you won't have to worry too much, but you'll get instant notifications of when shows are available. Of course, make sure you subscribe to the Tuts Network and Trending Topics Network on your iTunes or Podbean, etc., or Stitcher, that type of thing. And you can listen to us wherever we are, of course. All right. So, also, like our Facebook page, The Tuts Experience. I share a lot of stuff on there, usually political stuff. But it's all interesting stuff, and my own personal view, guys and gals. And I'm not nasty about it, but except if you support Brexit. Just a warning, ladies and gentlemen.
We're there. them hips rolling like speed of light. Let go of the controlling. Don't be shy, nothing to deny. No, it's only us tonight. This song that we, the rhythm that we have it. We have the power, gonna show them how we bring that heat. Are you ready? Yeah, love for you is steady, so let's blow this.
With Up here on the Tuts Experience. Oh yes. Now Ezio, she is a Swedish Caribbean singer. Yes, yeah, she is from Sweden. She took part with that song at Melodifestivalen this year. Not getting out of semi two. But me personally, that's one of the songs that, well, certainly one of the two songs that I go up to and listen to when I'm feeling a bit down. So that's just a wonderful song. So as it's sort of Eurovision-esque, we shall move on to a little bit of Eurovision news to keep you updated about what's going on for next year's contest on the 8th, 10th and 12th of May 2018. Oh yes, in Lisbon, Portugal. Indeed. So Dalal Minhat has chosen to auction off clothing and other memorabilia of her time in the Eurovision Song Contest last year for charity. The auction, which is currently taking place online, has been set up in order to support fund for a bone marrow transplant for a one-year-old girl, also named Dalal. Items on auction include a rare, limited edition promotional CD of last year's Bosnia-Herzegovina entry. Also on sale at the auction are some items of clothing worn by Dalal, both in the music video of their entry and on stage in Stockholm last year. Items that Dalal wore at the Bosnia-Herzegovina embassy in Stockholm are also included in the auction. Clothing items at the auction include a pair of red pumps, goatskin belt, tribal necklace, and a unique Aladia Adhik vest, a pair of earrings and a ring sold together, a sweater, and finally a Madame Jolosi purse. Dalal represented Bosnia-Herzegovina in Stockholm last year alongside Dean, Anna and Yala. They sang the song called Lubavier, finishing in 11th place in the first semi-final in 2016, therefore narrowly missing on the grand final. This marked the first time ever that Bosnia-Herzegovina failed to qualify for the grand final. Now, today of recording, which today is Wednesday the 25th of October, Festival de Canção in Portugal's semi-final running order is to be decided. Excellent. Now, in Finland's national final, UMK, artist announcements will take place on the 7th of November. Very exciting. Who will take over from Norma John as the helm, representing Finland at the Eurovision Song Contest? Well, also, later on next week, RTP, the Portuguese broadcaster, and the European Broadcasting Union are to meet next week. They are indeed. That's quite exciting. The reference group have a meeting in the Portuguese capital to talk about various issues on the agenda. Will be the slogan, the logo, the design theme of the 2018 Eurovision stage, and also practical matters such as ticket sales, accommodation and transport for the delegations, and the allocation draws for the semi-finals will also be discussed. Thus far, the EBU has expressed satisfaction in the organisation of RTP, and 2018 will be the first time that Portugal hosts the Eurovision Song Contest. Lisbon fought off competition from various other cities in the country for the honour to host the event. And earlier this week, RTP confirmed that a total of 43 countries have confirmed to participate in next year's contest. This matches the previous record set in 2008 in Belgrade, Serbia, and in 2011 in Dusseldorf, Germany. For the host country, 2018 will also mark their 50th participation in the Eurovision Song Contest. So the home entry will be chosen in the 2018 edition of the Portuguese National Final, as I've mentioned, Festival de Canção, which will take place in Guimarães on the 4th of March 2018. That's to win the grand final. Two semi-finals will be held on the 18th and the 25th of February. Guimarães is one of the cities which bidded to host Eurovision 2018, but ultimately losing out to the capital, Lisbon. Okie dokie. Well, that's good stuff for Portugal. They're really pushing it out, and why not? Which all makes sense, really. Also, in Denmark, Dansk Melody Grand Prix tickets go on sale on October the 26th, i.e. tomorrow. So, Thursday the 26th of October, get yourself ready and pounce on for Dansk Melody Grand Prix national final tickets in Denmark. Yes, indeed. Now, the Junior Eurovision Song Contest will be taking place next month. We will be having a recap of all of the songs once they're picked. And hopefully we'll be able to do that, because Ireland is doing something really weird where they're showing the national final the day before the contest. And then they'll show the contest. So I don't know why Ireland are ever, you know, doing something stupid like that, but... You know, each to their own, of course. Each to their own. You can't force countries to do what they want to do, can you, really? Never mind. Never mind, indeed. It has been confirmed that the United Kingdom will host the 2018 Eurovision Young Musicians Contest. That is bizarre. But fun, too. So, the UK gets to finally host a contest. Ooh, in the Eurovision, the first time since 2008 when we hosted the Eurovision Dance Contest. Now, Romania, Selecta Națională 2018 will take place. It will include five semi-finals, one final, and it will tour around Romania in six cities. That is fantastic news. Wonderful stuff. Now, it's been rumours are hotting up that the broadcaster Avo Tross will decide within the next month who will be their act for Eurovision 2018. Belgium so far are the only ones who have picked their artist. There's no point telling you now. As far as I'm... Well, I can't remember, to be honest. Blame It on the Baltics. Ex-Westlife singer Brian McFadden explains why Eurovision has gone to pot. What? Okay. Now, he's a man best known... Oh, finally, this will be our final story about the Eurovision here on the Tuts Experience first. Certainly for this edition. He's the man best known for quitting Ireland's biggest boy band at the height of their fame. But aside of being in Westlife, Brian McFadden also flirted with the Eurovision in the early 2000s. He wrote Ireland's 2004 entry, If This World Stops Turning, turning, seems like it now, as well as the song that's that finished second in the previous year's national final, A Better Plan. However, his love affair with the contest is long over. Speaking to the Irish Sun, Delta Goodrum's ex lays into the modern Eurovision, claiming it's gone to pot. And what is the blame? Why? Politics, of course, and the Baltics. Eurovision, he says, and I quote, "The Eurovision has gone to the pot. I say that as someone who has loved Eurovision as much as I love the World Cup. RTE have realised it's simply over. Eurovision is about politics now, not the songs. All these Baltic countries voting for one another, it's ridiculous." I don't remember Latvia, Estonia, or Lithuania ever being in the grand final of last year's Eurovision Song, or this year's Eurovision Song Contest. That's because they never qualified, you div. Well, I'm going to call you a dick. There you go. Brian's not the first to wave the politics card, and most likely won't be the last. We politely refer to him, this is weeblogs.com, to the recent Portuguese, Austrian and German victories. All three coming countries won, despite not being part of any traditional voting bloc. In fact, most winners tend to receive points across the board, and no one country has enough neighbours to propel it to the top on bloc voting alone. So what did the Baltics ever do to the man? Well, we first consider the trios of nations, Latvia, Lithuania and Estonia, as the song contest powerhouses. So between them, they have two victories, and the last being 15 years ago. Recently, they've been largely out of luck. And as for the World Cup, out of 20 tournaments, Ireland has only made it to 3. And does McFadden recommend a country gives up that too? However, the pot star turned talent show judge turned daytime TV presenter didn't end it there. He also turned for the return of the old jury system. Do you know what? I'm just going to stop it right there, because he's making me angry, and if he's ever going to go on a national newspaper and moan about something that I love, then at least have the facts to back it up. Oh dear. Terrible stuff. Anyway, let's go and wash our ears out, shall we?
As a
I'm living in a cardboard box. Living in a box. I love that song. Living in a box by Living in a Box. There we are. So, oh, good. Thought that might put a smile on your face. Yes. Great 80s tune here on the Tuts Experience. That's what we like to see and like to hear. Well, wrestling. Wrestling! Extreme. Well, you would think it would be extreme, as the last pay-per-view was TLC, Tables, Ladders and Chairs. It was extreme in the last match. Deary me. Well, I tell you what, it wasn't too bad, actually, in all honesty. It wasn't too bad. So, obviously, this took place on October, Sunday the 22nd, in the Target Centre in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've been to Target in Kissimmee. In Florida, just outside of Orlando. Nice place. I love Target. Had everything in there. Much more organised than Walmart, I must admit. Well, it was a bit awkward due to medical issues that impacted Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt. They, who were originally scheduled to perform at TLC, two of the matches were changed. And one of them became an inter-promotional match with a wrestler from the SmackDown brand. Bizarre. Eight matches were contested in the event, including one on the pre-show. The main event was originally scheduled to be The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins reunion match. However, Reigns was replaced by the Raw general manager Kurt Angle, and they defeated the team of The Miz, Braun Strowman, Kane, Cesaro and Sheamus on a 5-on-3 handicap tables, ladders and chairs match. Now, it's basically a no disqualification match. Because they weren't contesting for anything up the ladder. I thought they would have at least put the titles on where, for example, if The Shield won, whoever pinned The Miz, I suppose, would win the IC title. Or in some regard, it's some type of convoluted thing. But then for it was such a convoluted match, then you might as well then put, if Seth and, well, basically, if the other team won, then Sheamus and Cesaro would have won the titles. And you could have had, like, quite, in the end, it could have been The Miz pin Roman Reigns. And then that would have meant that Seth and Dean would have lost the tag titles. That type of thing. You know, or Strowman and Kane would have, you know, had a chance of, you know, maybe teaming up and getting the title. Something weird like that. They could have done something like that, but they didn't. It was weird. So this was Kurt Angle's first match in WWE in 11 years. Bray Wyatt, in the disguise of Sister Abigail, where basically he had a pair of tights wrapped over his head. it was ridiculous. Was originally scheduled to face Finn Balor as the Demon. He looked like a tiger, to be honest. Wyatt was replaced by SmackDown's AJ Styles, who Balor, as the Demon, defeated. Meaning Balor defeated AJ Styles. The event was notable for the main roster debut of Asuka, who defeated Emma on the first match of the night, which, in all honesty, was actually a very good match. Really enjoyed it. So anyway, as we move swiftly on, to the matches. So we started off with Sasha and Alicia. Now, I love Alicia's work recently. She's real gone crazy. And 11 minutes that match went on a long time. But there was a very strange spot where Alicia pinned Sasha on the outside. And they're like, well, it's not no disqualification. Very bizarre. Very bizarre. Anyway, so that happened. Asuka defeated Emma, and Emma got a lot of offense in, but it was a good wrestling match, and I think that's what they wanted to promote, and I think that's what they've been doing on SmackDown. But Cole has been saying, oh, Asuka's having fun. The whole point of Asuka is to be a heel, well, not necessarily a heel, but just like Shinsuke Nakamura 2.0. The strong style lady, the one, the female who's going to kick all the women's ass and, you know, take names and all that stuff. But they don't seem to be booking her that way, so Cole needs to make sure he's saying the right things, because at the moment he's not. And it probably shows the lack of foresight and booking and thought, or anything like that. In a booking, typical. Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann defeated Gentleman Jack Gallagher and Brian Kendrick. And Jack Gallagher, about a month ago, went heel, and I don't like it. It's weird. Though I do like his new ring attire, and it shows off his manhood really well, actually. Oh, dear. Oh, that is bad. But it's true. Oh, my God. Right, we then move over to match number four. Alexa Bliss ended up defeating and retaining the women's championship, the Raw Women's Championship, against Mickie James. Mickie looked great. Alexa looked relatively quite good too. She actually did a few moves, which was a shock. So she's putting the work in. Let's see if it continues. Enzo Amore defeated the champion, the Cruiserweight champion, Kalisto, and is now the new Cruiserweight champion. Less said about Enzo the better. He lost his voice as well, so that's quite fun. The Demon Finn Balor defeated AJ Styles, match of the night. Fantastic. Great stuff by these guys. I really want to see them wrestle again, and I hope it's not too long a wait. Jason Jordan defeated Elias in a who cares match. But there you go. Now, I must admit, I love the main event. So, Kurt, Dean, and Seth defeated The Miz, Cesaro, Sheamus, Braun, and Kane. I love everything with Kane and Strowman's conflict that they had, and Cesaro and Sheamus. Oh, such a well-oiled team. The Miz is just wonderful. I'm going to say this now. I think within the next year, The Miz will become the Universal Champion. Hear me now, believe me later. As DTC said. Oh gosh, that was ages ago. But I thought Kurt looked great. He got his moves in. Though, I found it was a bit of a wrong in, I think. When Kurt came back out after he got put through the table with Strowman, I would have expected Kurt Angle to come back. He came out to his normal music. But he didn't. He came back still in his Shield stuff. And I didn't think that was right. I was expecting him to come back in his proper wrestling gear, but I suppose maybe they're saving that for another time. Who knows when that will be. Interesting. So, I thought that was quite good, actually, to be fair. I thought TLC was alright. It wasn't bad at all. So, it'll be interesting to see what's going to be happening on Raw and SmackDown, but well, we saw on Raw in particular, that SmackDown invaded Raw and beat everybody up. Kane went over Finn like really quickly, and after three choke slams, it's a little bit of a burial, I think, and it just made me feel a bit awkward. I don't know, but this Mickey and Alexa Bliss stuff seems to be continuing. Don't know why, but it is. And Enzo and I don't know about Enzo and Kalisto. We're still a bit stuck in a ruck here. Not too keen. But I'm just loving what The Miz is doing. And Ambrose and Dean are great as they are. Strowman, don't know when he's going to be coming back. But Kane is looking incredibly dominant. We'll see what happens. I was slightly surprised on SmackDown this week that none of the Raw guys invaded SmackDown. I was certainly thinking it was going to be instant like that. They make him look like a bit of chumps, to be honest. Heading into Survivor Series, but we'll see. I suppose they're going to do it when they least expect it. Excuse me, your ninja. So there you go. So yeah, that's a wrestling take. But to be honest with you guys, I've not been watching much. I just casually watching WWE whenever I got 2 minutes, and it's only through the YouTube videos, so I'm slowly dying off as a wrestling fan, but I still have an interest on it. I really, really do. I just need to be compelled by the product. But Jinder Mahal is ruining it for me big time. He is a vacuum of unworthiness on SmackDown. There is nothing heelish, facey, or anything endearing about him. I just think he's boring. And he is boring. His promos are boring. all he keeps on going is Maharaja. And 1.5 billion people in India and all this stuff. So who cares? It's not getting a response from the crowd. The crowd is cold. The crowd is dead. The only response he's getting back is when he mentions Brock Lesnar or AJ Styles. That's it. And I just hate the way that they've messed around with Nakamura so much. Sami Zayn is putting some fantastic work. So his match with Orton this week was pretty good. But, you know, the guy didn't get the win, which would have been a really interesting thing to see Sami Zayn captain SmackDown team. But Randy did, even though Randy wasn't even in the invasion. And it just, that makes no sense to me at all. Becky Lynch, I mean, she's in the team, but captaining the women's team, so that was quite good. And that was understood because we saw Becky like all the time, but I didn't see Randy Orton at all. And then, to be fair, I didn't see Sami Zayn. But then having a heel like that in charge of the male team, I thought would have added a really nice dynamic. Still. There we go. So we'll see what happens at Survivor Series. It'll be interesting to find out. It certainly will. Right. In a little bit, we will say our goodbyes, actually. I've got to play our last song. And I've got an announcement to make as well. So stick around here on the Tuts Experience. Not long left to go.
Yeah.
Early Coffee. I love that song so much. I listened to it for the first time while myself and Rob were in our honeymoon in Iceland, and we were in an Icelandic bar, and that was playing. I put Shazam on, and I was like, aha, I have you now. And that song has just stuck with me. That's from an Icelandic group, if you haven't guessed, singing about the capital of Iceland, Reykjavik. From 1988, that's Manacorn with Lihi Odu I Reykjavik, which means live or die in Reykjavik. Such a stunning city, such a beautiful country, and I'm so glad I got to share one of my favourite country in the whole world with my husband on our honeymoon. Simply epic and magical. Got to go everywhere there. It was just, words cannot describe how beautiful that country is. Guys and gals, you must go. You must go and check it out. Okay, well, as we are towards the end of this podcast, I have had to re-record this one again. So I'm actually talking to you again now on Thursday, where I said earlier in the podcast to talk to you Wednesday, which is when I originally was recording the show. Sucks, doesn't it? Well, an announcement that I made previously, but I'm going to say it to you again now. But you wouldn't have known that. In the next couple of weeks, our good friends of the parish and my good friends from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yes, and Nicholas is initially from Belgium. Yes, Nicholas and Sarah Bouth will be on the Tuts Experience, and we're going to be reviewing the Junior Eurovision Song Contest. Now, I've downloaded some new Skype recording software, so hopefully that will work. If not, God knows what we're going to be able to do. I'll probably try and phone it in or something. I don't know. But basically, I want them, those guys on the podcast, because I miss them so much. And they're big fans of the Junior Eurovision Song Contest and the Eurovision Song Contest itself. So, I need to get that sorted. All right. It's all good fun. And I hope you can stick around for that. That will be in the next couple of weeks or so. We haven't got the Irish entry yet, but every other song is out, I believe, except for maybe the Georgian entry as of recording, so we'll have to wait and see. So, I hope you've enjoyed this show of the Tuts Experience and episode 65, Burn Fat Burn, and I hope you could join me again very soon, and listen out for the next episode of the Eurovision Showcase, due to be out on Sunday evening in the UK time, GMT, because the clock's going back on Sunday morning. Hurrah! An extra hour in bed. Marvellous. It was great stuff. So, take care of yourselves and stick around for our comedy bit featuring the legends of BBC Radio 4. Yes. I'm sorry I haven't a clue. Check out the next four clips from Humphrey Littleton and also from Jack D, featuring Graham Garden, Jeremy Hardy, and the wonderful late great Victoria Wood. Take care, guys and gals. Arrivederci, au revoir, ravidesein, and have a very nice day. Bang, bang.
And finally, Graham, I'd like you to sing the words of Killing Me Softly with his song to the tune of the Can-Can.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, killing my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. I heard he sang a good song, I heard he had a style, and so I came to see him to listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, a stranger to my eyes, strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his word. Killing me softly with his song, I felt all flushed with the fever. Embarrassed by the crowd, filled my letters, ready to run out of my wrong. Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song.
Well, it's time now for a musical diversion with pickup song, in which the team sing along with a selection of discs. As is traditional on these occasions, Samantha went along to the gramophone library earlier to collect the team's records. It's pitch black down there, so Samantha and the elderly archivist have taken to searching the shelves by candlelight, which can be messy. So while Samantha passes down the discs, the nice man holds the ladder while he cleans the dust and whacks off in the dark. Samantha is now poised over the turntable and ready to give the team's discs a spin until, at my signal, she turns the volume down. Finally, Jeremy, would you please accompany Ricky Martin singing Livin' La Vida Loca?
She's into superstition. Black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition. That girl's gonna make me fall. She's into new sensation, new kicks and candlelight. She's got a new addiction for every day and night. She'll make you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain. She'll make you live the crazy life and she'll take away your pain like a bullet to your brain. Outside, inside out, she's living la vida loca. She'll push and pull you down. She's living la vida loca. Her lips are delicate. And her skin's a colour of mocha. She will wear you out. She's living la vida loca.
Coincidence is a wonderful thing.
Graham, now, I'd like you to sing the words of I Don't Like Mondays by the Boomtown Rats to the tune of I Want to Be Like You from The Jungle Book.
Silly, don't chip inside her head. Get switched to overload. Nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make him stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Oh, tell me why I don't like Mondays. Tell me why I don't like Mondays. Tell me why I don't like Mondays. I want to shoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo the whole day down. Yeah.
Bob the Builder, can we fix it? Scoop, Muck and Dizzy, Roly too. Lofty and Wendy join the crew. Bob and the gang have so much fun. Working together they get the job done. Bob the Builder, can we fix it? Bob the Builder, yes we can. Do building and
until it's good as new. Bob and the gang make a really good sound.